This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help. When I was young, was so much younger than today. I never needed anybody's help in any way. Now these days are gone, and I'm not so self-assured. Now I find a change of mind and open up the doors. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down, and I do appreciate you being round. Help me get my feet back on the ground. Won't you please, please help me?
Oh yeah, a little bit of the Beatles to wake us up on a Friday morning. Hey, good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And along with my buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you so very much for being with us. My goodness, it is Friday, December the 9th. 16 more days. We got a lot going on this morning. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with George Beebe of the Quincy Institute. And we're going to talk about the Brittany Griner prisoner swap with Russia. Was the exchange that gave back Russia a notorious arms guy, arms dealer, is it worth it? We're going to talk about it with George, so stay tuned in just a few minutes. And Senator Kyrsten Sinema, have you heard? She has left or is leaving the Democratic Party. Wow. How is that going to affect the balance of power in the Senate? And for that matter, in Washington, D.C., we're going to talk about it. We're going to take a look. And speaking about taking a look, we're going to look at how a growing number of public libraries are reportedly shutting down conservative viewpoints. You know, people that have new books that might give a conservative point of view, they're being given the brush off. And we are going to, it's a story that's appearing right now in The Federalist on their website. We're going to take a look at it, so stay tuned. And in our ultimate top 10, you know, you're on the road now, it's Christmas, you're traveling, right? So we're going to give you the top 10 states with the worst drivers. You might want to go around those states on your way to grandma's house for Christmas. Anyway, we got a lot going on this morning. And this Kyrsten Sinema thing, I just found out about this morning. You know, she's been a thumb in the eye of the Democratic Party. She's one of the people that opposed getting rid of the filibuster in the Senate, much to the chagrin of her fellow Democrats. Well, anyway, Kyrsten Sinema has left the Democratic Party. She is now officially an independent. She has not joined the Republican Party. You know, I always thought, we talked about this, Ed, I always thought Joe Manchin of West Virginia might be the guy to watch for leaving the Democratic Party because he had so many conservative, you know, viewpoints. He was also in a very conservative state.
You're right, and although she has announced that she's leaving the Democratic Party, she's not ready to eat at the Republican Party table yet.
She is not. You are correct. She has an op-ed in the newspaper in Arizona, the Arizona Republic. I think it's out of Phoenix. She said she cited increasingly partisan goings-on and what she called radicalization of both political parties. Here's a quote from her. Americans are told that we have only two choices, Democrat or Republican. Mm-hmm. And that we must subscribe wholesale to policy views that party holds. She says most Arizonans, did you know they're called Arizonans?
I've called them worse.
Yeah. I thought they were called Arizonians.
Yeah.
They're not. They're Arizonans. Anyway, most Arizonans believe this is a false choice. And when I ran for the Senate and the House, I promised Arizonans something different. I pledged to be independent and work with anyone to achieve lasting results. I committed that I would not demonize people that I disagreed with. I would not engage in name-calling or get distracted by political drama. So, she's not technically going to join the Republican Party. So it kind of leaves in limbo exactly what the strength of both the Democrats and Republicans are in the Senate. Now, remember that technically there are 49 Democrats. And I say that because there are two independents in the Senate, Bernie Sanders and one other guy whose name I can't remember. So there are 49 plus 2 is 51, which means that there were 49 Republicans, correct? 51 plus 49.
Right,
okay.
Right.
So now if Sinema goes out of the Democratic Party, that gives them 58.
Gives them 50.
Now I'm getting confused.
Wasn't it 50?
It'll give them 48. If there were 49 Democrats, right?
Right.
And Sinema leaves the Democratic
Party. There were 50.
Party. Well, again, there are...
Let's just say there one
less. Here's the deal. Let's put it this way. There are 40... Currently, without Sinema changing, right, there were 49 Republicans. And... So that left 51 others to total 100.
Right.
Two of the other 51 are independents.
Mm-hmm.
That meant that we had 49 Republicans and 49 Democrats and two independents. Okay? Now Sinema leaves. Now we have three independents, 48 Democrats, mm-hmm, and 49 Republicans. Mm-hmm. Do you see? Now you would think, okay, so does that mean all the chairmanships of the senatorial committees go to Republicans? Because apparently they have one more person than the next closest party. No, it doesn't go that way. Why is that? Because when you become an independent or leave the party, unless you join the other major party, you can caucus, as they say, with whichever party you want. So that's why it's all kind of confusing. But I've always thought Sinema tended to have a lot of conservative in her blood, you know? And she did oppose getting rid of the filibuster, much to the chagrin of a lot of Democrats who wanted to get rid of it.
I applaud anybody in that situation that obviously had enough and said, these are my only two choices. You know, one is dumber than the other one.
Yeah.
You know, that's the only choices we have. And
that's,
and as voters, we do the same thing.
Now, I wonder...
The Independent Party, I mean, come on. I mean, we're not going to get enough for that.
No.
And there was talk of starting a new one, like the Patriot Party or something like that.
But you know what these people can do? They can hold a lot of power because each of the parties want them to vote their way, and those people in that party are willing to give up to them certain things that they would like Joe Manchin.
Right.
Joe Manchin thought he was going to get a deal for more drilling in West Virginia, so he agreed to the big spending program of the Democrats. Well, they turned their back on him after they got it passed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm talking about Joe Manchin. I think if anybody would want to drop the party,
he's another one of those professional politicians.
Yeah, he is.
That just slides right between the two lines. You know, it's like that game. Remember that old game of Operation? We got to put the tweezer in there. When you hit the side, he's just slick enough to get the little bone out of there without touching the sides.
Yes.
You know, and the nose going off.
He did that very well, by the way.
He's just slick enough.
Yeah. No, he is kind of slick. Let's see what happens. I wonder what he's thinking right now with Sinema. Anyway, let's take our break. When we come back, we all have been talking about Brittany Griner, the basketball player. She's being returned, if she's not already here, from Russia. What did we give up in return? Was it worth it? We're going to talk with George Beebe about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Friday, and we thank you so very much for being with us here on Freedom Works. And I'm going to have our buddy George Beebe join us in just a moment. I wanted to precede that with this story this morning, because Elon Musk has taken to Twitter, which he now owns. I guess he can get on Twitter if he wants, to voice his opinion on this prisoner swap that Biden engineered with Putin that involved Brittany Griner, the basketball star. He says that never leave a Marine behind. He's talking about the fact that Paul Whelan, an Iraqi war veteran who's been with been in prison in Russia now since 2018, he stays and Brittany Griner leaves. So again, Musk says never leave a Marine behind. I must say that Musk certainly is getting himself in the middle of all of these.
Obviously, that poor guy cannot shoot a basketball.
No,
is the problem.
That was true.
And all those people in Afghanistan cannot shoot a basketball either.
No, they can't. No, they can't. But Brittany Griner, she's pretty good. And she's back. Anyway, we've got George Beebe with us. He is the director of Grand Strategy. I like that title. Director of Grand Strategy at the Quincy Institute. He is also the former director of the CIA's Russian Analysis and a former Russian advisor to Vice President Dick Cheney. George, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Thank you.
Boy, oh boy, this is really, this prisoner exchange, I wonder if the Biden administration realized it's like kicking a beehive down off the tree. All the hornets are going all over the place right now. Brittany Griner returns. She was caught, apparently. I don't know if she really was involved in, trying to get out of the country, out of Russia, with some drugs in her luggage. But
I believe it was when she went in, she had, quote, medical marijuana.
Okay. Anyway, whether or not that's true, let me get your thought, George, on this whole situation. Did the Biden administration do the right thing?
Well, I think anytime our government tries to get Americans back to our country that had been wrongfully detained overseas by any government, that's a good thing. The real question here is not whether they did something that was a good thing, but the price that they paid to do it. And that's something that I think Americans have to debate. They have to form their own judgments on that. Certainly the Russians drove a very hard bargain here. It was quite clear that the Biden administration tried to get a better deal. They, in fact, went public, which is highly unusual in these sorts of negotiations, with an offer that we made to trade Victor Boot, the arms trafficker, for both Paul Whelan and Brittany Griner, and the Russians simply said no. And this is not surprising for anyone that follows Russian affairs. They typically are quite sensitive to the appearance of uneven deals. They want strict reciprocity. One for two was always a real long shot on this. And in the end, the Russians simply said, you're going to have to make a one-for-one deal, period. And the Biden administration said, under the circumstances, okay, we'll take that rather than getting nothing at all.
Yeah, but there's a lot of doubt about the strength of the Biden so-called negotiating group. I think that's been something in the back of people's minds for a while, as opposed to the way a lot of people might think that, say, Donald Trump would have handled it. Do you think that there could have been a chance if Biden said no, you want the arms dealer back, then you got to give us back Whelan, and you know, that's for sure. And you know, either we get him back, or you don't get back the arms deal. Do you think there would have been a shot at that if they were really strong on that, the Biden administration?
Well, it's interesting because John Bolton, who was the former national security advisor under Trump, has now publicly claimed that the Russians offered a one-for-one deal of a boot for Paul Whelan several years ago after Whelan was taken by the Russians and imprisoned on charges of espionage. And the Trump administration said, no, we're not going to make that deal. We have an American mm-hmm. who is innocent of these charges, who is being traded for someone who was most obviously guilty of much more heinous crimes. So that's not a deal that advances the national security of the United States, and the Trump administration apparently said no to that.
Yeah. It's interesting because here we are giving up an arms dealer for a basketball player that's been, you know, behind bars in Russia for only a few months. It does seem to indicate that, you know, go grab an American hostage because you can get a lot back for it.
Well, in one sense, yes, although the reality is that that sort of thing happens very, very seldom among governments. Because most governments, I think including the Russians, recognize that they would be vulnerable to that sort of game playing too. And Brittany Griner in this case was arrested prior to the Ukraine war, about a week before Russia's invasion. And as far as I know, her defense team never claimed that she was innocent of the charges that were levied at her. They have not denied that she attempted to bring this cannabis oil into Russia, which is a violation of Russian law. I think their argument was that because she is a celebrity, the Russians treated her differently, more harshly, and tried to use her as a pawn in the broader U.S.-Russian relationship.
It certainly worked. They got back this arms dealer. Guy's notorious. Hey, another thing about Brittany Griner is, unfortunately, maybe, she was seen as less than patriotic at certain basketball games. She would refuse to be involved with the national anthem and a few other things. So I think a lot of people, you know, and then she gets caught dealing, you know, trying to get away with some drug, you know, deal situations over there. So I don't know. There is some sympathy. And, of course, she didn't deserve what she got there. Everybody, I think, would agree on that. But there is, you know, it's not that black and white, you know what I mean? She's not, let's say, the most patriotic person that you might point to in this country.
Well, I think Americans can draw their own conclusions about that. I would say that living in a country in which you don't have to earn your citizenship or the rights that come with it is a good thing. I think for all of us, we like, I think, knowing that if we are wrongfully treated by other governments overseas, that our government has our backs. That's a good thing.
We're talking with George Beebe. He is the director of grand strategy at the Quincy Institute and former director of the CIA's Russian analysis, among other things. You say, George, it looks like Whelan, Paul Whelan, is not going to see American soil anytime soon. So you think we're going to close the book then on any negotiating with anybody else? Is it because we don't have anybody to negotiate to get Whelan back for?
Well, no, I don't think we're going to close the book on him. But I think that the chances that there's going to be a deal for Whelan anytime soon are rather slim. The Russians, I think, are going to insist on, again, a very high price for his release. They believe he's a spy. We, of course, deny that. But they're going to insist on some sort of spy deal. A Russian intelligence officer that is held in the United States as the price for Whelan's release. And that's the sort of thing that isn't easy to do. Again, you get into this problem of Russians who are quite rightfully convicted of doing things that very much threatened the national security of the United States, being exchanged for Americans that have not, in fact, engaged in the activities that they're charged with. And that's not a message that the United States government likes to send, at least not unless it's absolutely necessary. So there are some hard decisions that are going to have to be made here in trying to get Paul Whelan's release.
Yeah. Do you think the Ukrainian war had anything to do with even bringing up the negotiations to talk and, you know, getting this thing going?
Well, it certainly doesn't help. It adds a complicating factor to all of this. Trust levels between the United States and Russia are close to zero on both sides. There's an enormous amount of hostility. And the question that everyone jumps to in all of this, of course, is, does a deal of this kind portend any broader compromises on issues like Ukraine? Both countries want to be careful that they're not sending messages that they feel they are in a weak position, that they're inclined to make concessions. They want to project images of strength here so that they don't sacrifice any leverage in the broader relationship. So that's certainly a complicating factor in all this, and I'm sure it played a role in the Brittany Griner situation.
George, do you know much about Paul Whelan's background? It's not 100% altar boy either, right?
I don't know anything more than what I've read in the newspapers on this. And you know, he's somebody that has a military background, was engaged in corporate security issues, but I don't have any knowledge about what exactly he was up to.
Is he being treated, do you think, rather well in prison in Russia? If one can be... Go ahead. Yes?
I'd be very surprised if he were.
Oh, okay.
Russian prisons are not nice places to be.
No,
in.
No.
And particularly if you're an American charged the way he has been, and the broader U.S.-Russian relationship is in such a state of disrepair. That's not a comfortable position for him to be in at all.
I think I worded that wrong. I mean to say that they're not torturing him or anything, are they?
I would doubt it. No, I would doubt it.
Yeah. We've heard him. We've heard Whelan talk about it. You know, it's like kind of like, I sure would like to get out of here, but it sounds like he sounded in relatively good health from what I could tell.
Yeah, and there's only so much that you can infer from listening to somebody on audio tape, but he didn't sound like he was in physical distress.
Got it. Ed, did you have a question?
Yeah, George, I'm sympathetic for Brittany's sentencing, but I'm just wondering when Brittany's going to be held accountable for this whole thing, because... Listen, when I travel from state to state by plane, there are things you can't bring on a plane, like a gun or a knife or things like that. When you travel to a different country, there are things that are not allowed in different countries. And if it's that close, whether you question it, then leave it home. I just believe it's more arrogance on her part that she's a pro athlete and she can do whatever she wants in any country, wherever she is, and that's that. And you touched on that the Russians are taking advantage of the fact that she's an athlete. I think that Brittany takes advantage of the fact that she's an athlete, thinking that she can bring whatever she wants over there.
Well, I think certainly she made an error in judgment, an enormous error in judgment, for which she paid an enormous price. And my guess is that if you were to ask her, she would acknowledge this was not a good call on her part to do this.
Yeah, you know, I think everybody is glad she's home. It was totally unfair.
I don't want to see any heroes welcome, though.
No, that's not you that. I mean, I certainly understand. And we would like to get some of these other people back. George, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so very much for coming on and talking with us about this.
You're welcome.
All right, sir. George Beebe. Of the Quincy Institute. Yeah, it's a very interesting topic. Indeed.
I just have a feeling that she's going to be paraded as some sort of a hero.
Hey, we could be totally Machiavellian, you know, and we could say, here's what the WNBA, the Women's Basketball Association,
that nobody watches,
we got to figure out a way to get some publicity so people will start, I got an idea. Let's take one of our our biggest stars. Let's get her over to Russia.
I got to tell you, some athletes think they're above everything. Look at Michael Vick years ago. He had a secret. The quarterback for the Falcons.
Atlanta Falcons.
He had a secret compartment on the bottom of his water bottle where he held his weed. And he just thought he was arrogant enough that he could get through security. And if he was caught, I'm Michael Vick. And you'd think, as much money as you make, you think he'd dump his weed and buy it.
Your point is well taken.
Place.
You know, these are pampered people. Everybody wants their autograph, and yet they would go and they think that they're above it. They think they're above the law to some extent, which, you know, in a way, she was really shot back down to earth when she got caught in Russia doing that. In a way,
I do. And you brought up the whole thing about the kneeling during the and not participating.
Yeah.
I wonder if that changes.
Yeah, I would like to hope that she comes back.
Yeah.
She should be kissing the ground when she gets off the airplane.
You'd think that Biden would have asked Putin to throw in maybe a couple million barrels of oil or something, you
yes.
know, sweeten the deal a little
we
bit.
We could have gotten a better deal
a little
than we got,
something.
Maybe.
Something.
Right.
Dinner?
All right. We're going to take a break when we get back. Among other things, a look at how a growing number of public libraries are reportedly shutting down conservative viewpoints. We're going to examine a story that is currently running in the Federalist on this whole thing.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Freedom Works. Thank you so very much for listening to us. We always appreciate that. So, speaking about someone that's getting his name in the news all the time, Brittany Griner, of course, is on the cover these days of the news, but our buddy Elon Musk continues to get his name. He's brought out part two? Of the unearthing of what Twitter was doing to conservative speech. Hey, by the way, this is kind of interesting. Democratic leadership on the House Oversight and Reform Committee have canceled a hearing because apparently they don't want Musk to testify at the hearing, where he would be able to bring up in front of everybody the censorship of conservatives. Committee Democrats said they canceled the hearing and they blamed it on a miscommunication. It was a hearing to investigate the spread of climate disinformation on social media. So the Oversight Committee was going to have all these different bigwigs from the different tech groups, you know, like Twitter and Facebook and all of that, sit down. And now they don't want Elon Musk in there to talk about, maybe he'll kind of go off subject a little bit, right? And talk about some of the censorship that is going on. Originally, this hearing was part of an investigation into oil companies' climate change, what they call disinformation campaign. So these Democrats on the committee wanted to highlight how bad big oil was and how they were passing on misinformation.
Well, you remember when Elon Musk was trying to buy Twitter, and he said the price was going to depend on how many fake accounts there were.
Yes.
Well, those fake accounts are what pushed these subjects. You have to remember that. If there was something that maybe we weren't so interested in, these fake accounts would push it and make it mainstream. So,
yes.
So, you know, I'm trying to find an instance, but the whole
if they had enough
the
of
Biden
those,
laptop
those
thing.
Phony things coming in, more and more people would begin to talk about the things that they wanted
right.
them to talk
Let's
about.
Let's say the Trump was caught with two hookers. You didn't hear about that, and then all of a sudden these fake accounts are pushing. We have evidence that Trump was caught with two hookers, and then it goes viral. You know.
Yes.
So that's what he's weeded out. Just getting there.
Yeah.
Just getting there. Now he's going into the offices and pulling out the files.
Well, now
and checking the files.
Now he's showing documented information
of people that
the thumb was on the scale when
sure.
it came to what people were allowed to say is
certain
Twitter.
People. Certain people. It was a Dan Bongiorno, whatever his
Bongino.
Name. He was completely harassed and anything blacklisted, whatever you want, completely. His name was completely blacklisted there.
The thumb was on the scale. That guy, Jack Dorsey, he played innocent. You remember he was in front of one of those committees, Jack Dorsey, the former Twitter head?
Yeah.
And he was like, we don't get involved in, I mean, he acted like
yeah.
a deer in the headlights.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. Come on, you know. So, anyway, here's something I found this morning on the Federalist website. Now, the Federalist organization is a conservative organization, and they're talking about how a few public library radicals are influencing what's getting into these libraries, and even the ability of these conservative publishers to go around and have these groups set. You know, it used to be that you would write a book and you would be invited by some of these libraries, these public libraries, to have a book review.
Book signing.
Right. And now some of these conservatives apparently are getting squeezed out. Here's an example. A conservative Christian author by the name of Kirk Cameron. He has apparently been rejected by about 50 public libraries on the basis of his religious beliefs. He has a new children's book called As You Grow. Apparently some of these libraries say that they don't like what he has to say in the book, and therefore they're not going to allow him to hold a book signing or a discussion at their library. As an example, The Rochambeau Public Library, it's in Providence, Rhode Island, openly dismissed Cameron's request to share his book, saying, quote, "We are a very queer-friendly library. Our messaging does not align." Wow. What are you talking about?
Well, they're basically telling you we're on the other side of the coin.
Yeah, but that's censorship. And isn't that funny that of all places to find censorship?
I told you years ago.
Library.
Years ago, those people said, "Can't we just get along? Can't we all just get along?" Now, it's we need to go along.
Yeah.
No, you need to go along with what we want,
and then we can get along.
That's right.
Yes, right. Others, other libraries simply rejected the request, saying the program just wasn't something they were interested in. As an example, the Indianapolis Public Library argued they had a strategic plan in place for their book reading events, noting that they are, quote, really looking at authors who are diverse. In other words, you're not diverse enough. You're a Christian. You're pushing Christian values. We're looking for more diversity. Also, you're a white guy. So you got two strikes against
you. No, you get me started on that.
Here's how Cameron, the author, responded. He said, publicly funded libraries are greenlighting gender marker and name change clinics while denying a story time that would involve the reading of a book that teaches biblical wisdom. He said, how much more clear can it get? You know? That's kind of scary, though, you know? I mean, that's kind of the censorship that's going. You know, in spite of it, I noticed that, for instance, on the New York Times bestseller list, a lot of conservative authors are being read. In fact, I would venture to say there's more interest in reading conservative authors than there is liberal authors.
I would look at who owns these places and see what their values
are. Public libraries?
So you're saying it's a public library?
Yeah, these are all public libraries.
Okay, I think you find out who's on the board.
Yeah, well, the board, of course, that's the deal. But these are taxpayer-funded libraries. And because of that, they have to walk a very, you know, they have to be very careful about turning down people.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't do that. I think, you know, if enough people in the communities get upset about it and show up at the, the board meetings for their town about that library and what it's doing, then maybe something will get done about
it. Explain it to us. Yeah.
Yeah. So now, did you hear about this guy with, you don't have anything to do with crypto, do you, Ed?
No.
Okay.
Other than I don't understand it like anybody else.
I don't understand it either. Let me find the story on this guy. The guy that's holed up in the Bahamas right now. Can't think of his name, but I got
this. Is it Sam something?
Yes. Nickelman or something?
Yeah.
I know I've got it here. Bear with me a second. He's going to testify.
Limited.
He's going to, let's say he's going to, oh, here it is. It's right in front of me. The guy's name is Sam Bankman-Fried. Yeah. Sam Fried. Or Sam Bankman. I don't know how. I guess he must have married some woman and decided to use both. Anyway, he's the founder
of the Pansinet family.
He's the founder of FTX, and he has announced today that he will testify on Tuesday before the House Financial Services Committee. I'm sure he's not going to show up in person. He'll be sitting in the Bahamas, right? He's going to talk about the crypto exchange's total collapse.
Well,
and the billions of dollars that are...
I saw he's agreed to testify, but he's also made known that I only have access to certain data, so I can only bring so much to the table.
Yeah, you know he's going to sit there like the old deer in the headlights we just talked about with Jack Dorsey.
Yeah.
He's going to go, oh, I didn't know that was going on. I mean, you know...
$400 billion?
I didn't know.
I don't have that file with me.
The other guy did it.
Yeah.
You know? He says he would voluntarily testify since the committee, quote, still thinks it would be useful, unquote. It was unclear whether he'd show up in person or stay in the Bahamas. I think it's very clear he's going to stay in the Bahamas.
Well, he's got COVID, I'm sure.
He appeared to lay blame on a guy by the name of Chang Peng Zhao.
Yep.
That's the guy that's the real bad guy, apparently, according to him. Let's see here. Bankman-Fried wrote that he still did not have access to much of his data, professional or personal, so there was a limit to what he would be able to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you're going to see very, very little.
Yes, sir. I don't have that information.
Exactly.
Thanks. You validate.
Yeah, exactly right. All right. I think we will take our break, and when we come back, hey, we're going to talk, we'll talk some sports with the weekend coming up with Ed. He's our sports director as well. But we're also going to give you the top 10 states with the worst drivers.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to Pat. patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back to the final segment on a Friday of Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for being with us. By the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tan Talk Radio Network. We've been doing this for an awful long time. But if you're not able to hear us live, Big Ed puts all our shows on our website, on our podcast. He's got it all figured out. All you have to do is go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, and click on the podcast button. There's the shows, most recent show at the top, and you'll know who the guest is because he puts it on there and the topic with the guest. And he also puts our top 10 on there. So you'll know ahead of time, and you can choose the show you want to hear. We appreciate that Ed does that, by the way. Again, it's ourfreedomworks.com, O-U-R, ourfreedomworks.com. All right, before we get to talking a little bit of sports and top 10, seven more members of the House Freedom Caucus are threatening to throw a wrench into the spokes of Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy's hope to become the House Majority Leader. They want McCarthy to start getting serious about concessions on certain rules, or they're not going to vote for him. There are about seven of them. Here they are. Scott Perry of Pennsylvania, Chip Roy of Texas, Dan Bishop of North Carolina, Paul Gosar of Arizona, Andrew Clyde of Georgia, Andy Ogle of Tennessee, and Eli Crane of Arizona. Now, McCarthy cannot afford to have that many people not vote for him because he won't get the speakership, the Speaker of the House. That's what he wants. So we'll see where all of that goes. That means that he's going to have to issue up a lot of concessions to those seven, those magnificent seven, or whatever you want to call them, because he sounds like he will probably get it ultimately.
I saw where Nancy Pelosi did one of her last voting events or something like that.
Oh, she did?
Before we get to drop a house on her.
Yeah. Nancy.
On her way out.
Hey, you know who's still thinking he might run for president, by the way? Speaking about old people on the way out. Bernie Sanders said that if... he's 81 years old. He's even older than Biden. He said if Biden chooses not to run, he's ready to run again. If Biden is too old, Bernie said he's available. So we still got Bernie Sanders to possibly slap around it.
You know, it's like later. Every 4 years we think, okay... Age is finally caught up to Hillary, which she's still banging around out there. Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden, and many others.
Chuck Schumer. It's, we got a lot of old people.
I mean, honestly, in a one-on-one situation, we ask these people half their day was. They couldn't remember what they had for breakfast, for crying out loud.
I know Biden can't.
No.
Well, they could just tell him.
Well, he's really.
We still give you formula.
Watching the Britney thing. Her wife was standing behind Biden as he was reading the prompter. You know, 1, 2, 3. And then she comes up and how could you not laugh? I mean, I would break out laughing watching him trying to interpret interpret the teleprompter. You know where it says, say it again.
You know, another thing, you notice how he squints his eyes when he's talking? You always know when
he doesn't want you to see. That's an old trick for TV people. So they don't see your eyeballs going back and forth.
Well, I think he's squinty because he can barely see.
He can barely see.
Okay. All right. Before we get to it, well, you know, there's a lot of sports going on these days. We're getting closer to the college football championship playoffs. I don't even know which teams are in there anymore that might be in the hunt for that. Then we got the Lightning. I don't even know. They played last night, right?
They did. They won last night against the Nashville Predators. Yeah, 5-2.
You know, they're playing very well.
5-2 they won last night.
Our beloved Lightning are playing very well.
I think it was the 300th straight sellout.
Really?
Last night. I want to say 300. Yeah.
That is
since 2015.
Well, nobody can say that Tampa is not a sports town when it comes to hockey. Now they say that, well, there's no interest in baseball.
And you remember when there was an article in that rag that we call a paper, but when they were down at the Trop, which was then known as Thunderdome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're talking about the Rays, yes.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm talking about the Lightning. Remember when they played in there? First thing with the fairgrounds
That's
in Tampa.
Right. They also played there.
Then they moved there.
That's right.
And remember, I think we had the NHL record for in there. It was like 28,000 or something like that.
Yeah.
Something crazy.
How many people do they have at Amalie Arena?
It's right around 17.
Okay.
17 or 18, I believe
it is.
It's
still a large crowd. And the 300 straight sellouts. That's amazing. Yeah. That's really
amazing. And it ain't so cheap, good. I can tell you that.
No. How much would it be, let's say, if you wanted to sit in the lower section, not necessarily right on the ice, but I wonder
Let's say halfway between the glass and the aisleway that goes around.
Yeah.
You're looking at least about $1.75 per game.
Oh, it's only $1.75. Well, that's not as bad as I thought.
You got to move the decimal point.
Oh, I do. Okay.
Over.
$175 for a game?
Yeah.
That does seem right like around, a lot of money.
We're close to 300 if you want to sit on the glass.
How much if I got a beer?
Right now, the Ray J is the worst at $15. I think they're right around. Well, they kind of confuse you with the size.
Oh,
you
they
get,
do.
Well, you can get a 24-ounce can. A 24-ounce can, I want to say, is $18.
Jeez.
So that's two 12-ounce cans.
That's almost
$1 an ounce. That's two 12-ounce cans.
Oh, God. I'd want to give up drinking. That's what I would
want. So you're looking at $9 for a can of beer.
Now, do we have the Bucks? I get confused the last time they played. Do we have the Bucks playing football this
weekend? Yeah, they had that wonderful comeback at Ray J Monday night.
Oh, that was my. So that means they will be playing this weekend.
Yeah, so they're out in San Francisco this week.
Oh, how's San Francisco doing?
Well, their Jimmy Garoppolo, their quarterback, went down with a broken foot.
Oh, boy.
So their rookie quarterback is in there who won last week with them. So it's not going to be any given.
No given.
No, it'll be a nice little victory if they can pull it off. I don't think that's going to happen. I seriously don't. There's too many problems going on with the Bucks behind the scenes with coaching.
Yeah, you seem to be a little down on them. But yet, aren't they leading their division?
I know.
I
could probably
fit
into that division with a couple of our drunken friends.
That means
they
will be in the playoffs, though.
Well, if things go the way they are, yes. They'll even get a home game.
There you go.
They'll even get a home wild card game.
Now, is there friction between Tom Brady, the quarterback, and the coach?
He's not going to say. He's not going.
Well,
it's
do you
not
think?
The coach. It's not the coach.
Not the coach?
It's Byron Leftwich who is the offensive coordinator.
Okay. Does Brady want to call more plays? Is that it?
I don't know why you don't let him do that.
Yeah, I would agree.
I mean, if anybody's got qualifications,
yes,
it's him.
I think you're right.
In those 2-minute drills when he rips them down the field.
Yeah, he's great.
That's all him.
Yeah.
That's all him.
Right. Okay, very good. Thank you, Ed. I appreciate your analysis. Let's move you over to the drums because we're going to give our folks the top 10 worst driver, top 10 states with the worst drivers. Now, let me tell you that this is from Quote Wizard. And they analyzed data from insurance quotes in every state, and they ranked each state for its rate of accidents, in other words, rate of incidents. That incidents include, by the way, car accidents, speeding tickets, DUIs, and citations. So the states with the most incidents were ranked as the worst, okay? So with that being said, here we go. Top 10 states with the worst drivers. Number 10, Rhode Island. Now, you know why you know why I think Rhode Island?
Why?
Because if you've ever been to Rhode Island, you want to get out of there as quickly as possible. And so you drive real fast when you're in Rhode Island. And if you drive real fast when you're in Rhode Island, it takes you about 12 minutes to go from one side of the state to the other. So that's why I think Rhode Island has bad drivers.
We'll go with that.
Okay. You'd go with whatever I just said. Number 9. Hey, now for something completely different. Hawaii.
You know what I wonder about Hawaii?
I wonder why.
Why are there interstate highways in Hawaii?
I don't think you can connect to another state.
No, that's why I wonder. Why are there interstate highways?
Do they technically have an interstate?
Yes, they do.
Yeah, they should call it an inter-island. They can't even call it an inter-island.
I want to say it's Highway 1 is the big one.
Yeah, that's it. You don't need to have no stinking interstate. I think it's because of all the mountains and volcanoes. That's what people are so worried about, all of that. All right, number 8. Arizona is number 8. Now, what would you say is the reason for Arizona? Is it because you're in so much desert and you just go fast because it's so dull to look at or something like that?
That'd be a state I'd want to get the hell out of.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it.
They end up going fast. All right, number 7.
Are they still counting out there?
I wouldn't be surprised. I think they finally finished all of that.
Yay.
Number 7 is Virginia. And that's understandable. Virginia, you know, so many people. That's like if you have to go to a state where everybody is going back and forth and back. Virginia is one of them. You know, it's got to just be so many. Such horrible traffic in Virginia. Number 6. And again, something completely different. North Dakota. Now, North Dakota doesn't have a lot of traffic. I mean, where are you going to have a traffic jam in North Dakota?
Yeah, but you get a lot of snow.
So that must be
a lot of accidents.
Yeah. So you think that's it?
It could be.
I wonder why.
Well, let's see what
people
the rest of them
don't
are
drive
like.
As well there. Number 5. You're right. Number 5 is Ohio.
Another northern state.
All right. Number 4. You know, a bunch of northern states. Number 4 is Wisconsin.
There you go.
Yeah. Maybe it is.
You have those icy roads and stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of accidents.
I'm beginning to think you're right. Number 3. Iowa. That's another one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You may be right. You may be onto something. Do you think the last two here are going to be snow states?
You didn't go to college
states?
For nothing, you know.
No, you didn't. Number 2. California.
Well, they're just strange.
Well, they have snow in certain places. But, yeah, everybody's crazy in California. Yeah. All right. What do you think's number 1?
Florida between October.
Yeah, it could be. It ain't Florida. Roll the drum. Those Mormons, they don't know how to drive. Utah. Utah is the very worst state for driving.
That's not a very heavily populated state, is it?
No, it's not.
That's obviously got something to do with, like I said.
I think it must be attitude.
Well, that and the snow. I mean,
maybe you're right. Could be the snow as well.
8 months of the year, I think they've got snowy conditions probably.
Yeah, maybe those Mormons are just frustrated and they drive fast. Anyway, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful weekend. Be safe. And remember, please remember, that freedom works.